Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 1st, 2017. Pastor Paul Tolberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is taken from Matthew chapter 18. And Peter came up and asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as seven times?" May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We, as Christians, have no problem believing in a limitless God of power. We know that God spoke the universe into existence. We just got through confessing that in the creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Oh, yeah, we know he has all power. There's nothing. In fact, when you look at the scriptures, not only does creation display that, but when Jesus walked on this earth, it didn't matter if there was a hurricane or a tornado or anything going on, Jesus would just calm it by speaking. It didn't matter if your body was rotting away with leprosy, Jesus would just cure it by saying, "Go, show yourself to the priests." Didn't matter if you were crippled, Jesus would just say, with his mouth, his words, "Take up your mat and go home." We have no problem understanding God has limitless power. We have no problem understanding God has limitless wisdom. If you want to do something kind of cool someday, hold up your hand like this, and you go like this, and just kind of make a little wave like with your fingers. Later on, Google how many muscles it takes for you to do this. It's a phenomenal thing, and we don't think anything of it. We don't think anything of our internal organs that God has set up so that they work whether we're thinking about breathing or not, whether we're thinking about our heart beating or not. The Lord has things set up so that they go automatically. How wise is that? The moon is just the right distance from the earth so that we are protected and there's the tides and the ebb and flow. We are just the right distance from the sun. How wise is that? We're not fried to a crisp and we're not like a cold ice ball. Oh, we have a very wise God. Looking around, you understand that he's wise. You read the book of Proverbs, where God has put a whole bunch of his wisdom into one book, and you understand God is limitless in his wisdom. I get that. So he's limitless in his power. He's limitless in his wisdom. Peter got that too. And he's really a good teacher. We have a hard time understanding this one particular aspect of God, that he is limitless in his mercy. He's limitless in his mercy. Peter thought he got it. He thought, well, I should be just a smidgen more noble and generous than what the rules are. I wonder if you caught how completely wrong he was with his question. He says, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother?" For him, it was just a series of going through the hoops. How many times do I have to forgive somebody? Let's say Dawn steps on my toe. Here's Dawn. I can pick on her because she knows it's okay. We're okay. Let's say Dawn steps on my toe. And she does it on purpose. I say, "Dawn, you stepped on my toe." And she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor." Backs off. Peter would say, "Forgive her." She does it again. Peter would say, "Forgive her." Seven times, Peter would say, "Yeah, forgive her." And time number eight, "Well, Dawn, I'm not going to have you step on my foot anymore." But Jesus says it's not like that. It's not keeping track. In the book of Corinthians, he says, love keeps no record of wrongs. God's love, his incredible mercy towards us, is limitless. We might find it easy to say that about others. You know, that schnook down the road who's not so kind, or that really nasty lady at work, or that kid at school is just always, he really needs the Lord's forgiveness. I'm glad the Lord is limitless in his mercy towards him, right? Or towards her, right? But what happens when it's you? And I am looking at myself compared with what God expects of me? Ooh. The scriptures say we fall short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God means I don't get into his heaven by doing the good things I'm really trying hard to do. If you were in Bible class a couple weeks ago, you understood that the very good things, the very best things that we do, the Lord says, are like filthy rags. Just to be thrown out. That's the very best, because everything that we do is touched and tainted with sin. So when we look at ourselves, you know, in my head I might say, I can understand how God would forgive Dawn for stepping on my foot 7-8 times, but how could God forgive me for holding a grudge? How could God forgive me for losing my temper and spouting off a whole bunch of words that God says he wanted to bless people with his name instead of curse them? How does the Lord want us to live? He wants us to live understanding that he is limitless in mercy. And that affects everything that we do. It puts a great big bubble of peace around all of us. Because the Lord's kids are striving really hard with God's incredible grace to not hold grudges, to not do the finger pointing, to go up alongside someone and say, hey, you need some help? You need to be reminded of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? And what has God done? The Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of paradise, came here, lived just like us, and then although he did nothing but good all day long for 3 years in the public ministry, people were backbiting him, people were lying about him, they brought up false charges against him, and they took a hammer and nails and they drove it through his hands and his feet. And then that wasn't enough. They wanted to desecrate his body too, so they stabbed a spear into his dead body and out flows a flow of blood and water. And then they quick wrapped him up and put him into a tomb because there was not time for a proper burial. That's what God did to set me, Pastor Talberg, free. And he did the same thing for Dawn. So if Dawn and I are having a problem and we remember that, the problem goes away. Because whatever problem we have is way, way less than what God has done for us. His grace, his mercy is overwhelming, and he wants us to know that and not be stuck in the past like Joseph's brothers were. They were kind of wondering, am I really forgiven? Am I really forgiven? You know, on people's deathbeds, I sometimes run into Christians that for just a brief second, they kind of wonder like, oh man. And Satan brings back a memory of some sin. And they wonder, could God forgive that sin? If you're ever around someone like that, just smile and say, you know, not only could he, but he did. He paid for it on a cross with the lifeblood of his son. And to make sure that you and I would know that, his son came back to life again on the third day, and he announced it himself. The debt's gone. Peace is there. You are forgiven. You tell anyone that his sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. So in Jesus' name, my dear friends, that's how we live. We live completely washed from head to toe in God's incredible, limitless mercies. And we don't use that as an excuse to keep on sinning. No, instead we are kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, being imitators of God. So we put away all the dirty talk from our mouth. We put away all of the rage and the anger and the fist fighting and all that stuff. We put that all away because that's part of the old nature. And now in Christ Jesus, we live to love our Lord and to love each other and to serve our Lord and to serve each other. In Jesus' name, let's live that way this week. Amen.